All right, so let's get into our message today, which is from Bereshit. There's a classic Jewish story that goes, a man came to the rabbi. In fact, a couple of men go to the rabbi to settle a dispute. And the first man says, "Rabbi, this guy owes me 20 pieces of silver, and he won't pay." And he goes through his whole story, and the rabbi says, "You're right." And the second man says, "Rabbi, actually, this man owes me 20 silver pieces. And here's the story that really happened." And the rabbi says, "You're right." And a third man who was listening says, "Rabbi, they can't both be right." And he says, "Actually, you're right too." How can everyone be right? Well, the rabbis look at this and they say, this just indicates that there are multiple rights in every story, especially in Scripture. There can be multiple rights. And we see this right off the top of our portion today. In fact, right at the very first word, Bereshit, there's this whole thing that goes two different ways about what the word Bereshit means and what does it indicate. So, what you have are two words really compounded together. Be, which means in, and Reshit, which means first or beginning. So you put them together, Bereshit, obviously, in the beginning, and it makes sense. Well, in the medieval times, there were a couple of rabbis who wanted to expound on it. And they looked at it. Now, I got to tell you, logistics and words, I mean, I have enough trouble with English. So I'm not going to go into all the detail of how they come upon this. But they look at the words, and they look at how they've been used in Scripture in other places to come up with their true meaning. Because in Torah studies, every word has meaning. In fact, every letter, they'll say, has a meaning to it. So Rashi looks at this, and he says, basically it comes down to, there's nothing in Scripture that this word has been like this before. So what he comes down to is he says it means in the beginning of God's creating the heavens and earth, then the earth was astonishingly empty and darkness upon the surface of the deep. So what he's saying is, he's saying when God started creating, there was all this nothingness. And then he created from all this chaos. That's what he created out of. Well, Rabbi Ramban disagrees with Rashi. He says it should read the way we normally would read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Reading that God took from absolutely nothingness and created. We always say with his breath. He spoke it and it was. So these are the two points of view of Bereshit and what Bereshit means. So let's take a quick look again and read Genesis 1 through 2. 1 through 2. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim was hovering over the surface of the waters. So here, Genesis 1, 2, it tells us that there was chaos. And some forms say, and some versions say, without form, or tohu, a place of chaos. Some would interpret that as. And they say there was a waste or a void. Bohu. An emptiness. And then the darkness. Chozech. just darkness or obscurity even. So, we come back to the question. Did God create out of nothing, or was there chaos that God created out of? And much like the rabbi, I say both are right. Because who's to say that he didn't first create the chaos and then created out of that chaos? Just because something's missing doesn't mean it didn't happen. So I can accept both. I believe, because the way I've been taught, it came out of nothing. He spoke it, and his breath created. But why couldn't he have spoken? His breath created all this stuff, the building blocks, and then he put the building blocks together. And maybe it happened just that fast, that to the naked eye, if there was a naked eye there, it just, boom, it seemed like it happened right away. Maybe, I don't know. Who does know? Because none of us were there. So maybe it did happen that way. Does it matter? It really doesn't. Either way, God had to create everything. If he created the chaos first, he created the chaos out of nothing. If he didn't create the chaos first and just created, and the chaos was the process of creating, okay, hey, I can buy it. It's still God. It's still Adonai. He's still doing the creating. He's still the only one who creates out of nothing. So I don't have a problem with that. What we do know is that each time God created, on each of the 6 days that he created, he looked at what he created and he said, "It is good." And on that sixth day when he created man, he looked and said, "It is good." Because God took from this chaos, he ordered it and created and made something good. Didn't have any of that chaos left in it. It was orderly. It was good. But ever since then, chaos has been trying to push its way back into creation. Chaos has been trying to overrule the order that God had placed in those 6 days. Now, how did that happen? Well, we know the story. Man was told to tend the garden and don't eat from the tree of knowledge. Eat anything else, but don't eat from the tree of knowledge. The serpent, who is Satan, comes, tells half-truths and lies to Adam and Eve, mostly Eve, but I'm not pointing a finger, because Adam had his part to play in it. Don't think he was innocent. He comes in, he tells half-truths, they sin, they eat of the wrong tree, and chaos enters back into the world. Today, we see the same struggle happening over and over and over again. Chaos trying to push into our lives. God is a calming influence on us. The world and its chaos wants to impress its chaos and its struggles upon us so that we feel all that chaos and are affected by all that chaos. And we see that because what do we see in man? He always wants to know, how was life formed? How to change life, right? You look at science, and they're always trying to look at things, change things, and especially life. how to create life. They're even trying to create life in his own people. They want to know, when's his time to return? How is it going to happen? How is it going to affect the time we have left? We're always worried about things. We're always, even if it's the things of Scripture, they're worrying. They cause chaos and confusion in our minds. But that's not where we're supposed to be. If I'm going to say something, I'm going to say, stay in your lanes, people. God didn't mean us to be wandering around. He doesn't want us, you know, he wants us to have knowledge. He's given us all knowledge through his Torah. Be happy with that. Be content with what he's shown us. He's created, except that it's good. You know, if we can do that, our life's not going to be so bad here, is it? Push out the evil, push out the confusion, push out the chaos. But that's not the way of the world. That's not the way of the serpent, Satan. His effort was to destroy from the very beginning. John 1, 3:8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the very beginning. Ben Elohim appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Satan's been trying to bring that chaos back into our lives, into the world and our lives personally. If you have the calming influence of Messiah, Satan wants to bring confusion of the world, the chaos of the world, back into your life. He's been doing it from the very start. And he didn't do it just to you, and he didn't do it just to me. He tried to do it with Yeshua. He tried to do it with Yeshua. From the time that Yeshua went to fast for 40 days after coming out of the water. After he was hungry, and Satan thought he must have been a little bit weak at that point. Right? We all get a little weak when we're hungry. He fasted 40 days. That's when Satan wants to sow in that disorder into Yeshua's life, by telling half-truths. That's what he does. The world seems to want to pick up that confusion. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous ones his thoughts. Let him return to Adonai, so that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. It's the declaration of Adonai. The world is trying to throw chaos into our minds, and the Lord says, return to me so that I can bring that peace back into you. Don't accept those half-truths. Don't accept those outright lies that the world and Satan are throwing at us all the time. What did Yeshua do to stand up against these half-truths? He spoke the truth. He spoke Scripture right back at them. He fought with the sword of truth, of the Word. That's what we need to do as well. Half-truths and lies are the tricks of Satan, and he still uses them today. And he says, hey, when do you think Yeshua's coming back? Don't you want to know? It's important to know. Don't you want to know? Maybe we should try to figure it out ourselves. Let's do that. Let's do it. We have to do it ourselves because he won't tell us. So we have to do it. God's given us just the right knowledge that we need. We don't need to go figuring out all this stuff. It says, Scripture tells us, we're not to know the day and time. Yeah, but we need to know. Come on, we'll go figure it out. Look, here's science. We can do it with science. No. What are you working yourself up for? He's already told us the truth. But that's what he does. We just have to trust the one who created all the universe. We have to trust that he's true and that we can just depend upon him. Romans 8:27-28. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind, the Ruach, because he intercedes for the Keshedim, the righteous, according to the will of God. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We know all things work together for the good for those who love God. How peaceful that should make our soul. He works all things for good. Even the chaos, he works all things for good. Even for the things I don't understand, he works all things for good. People want to say, yeah, but he can't do it. He does it all. Nothing surprises him. Nothing fools him. He can do it all. He can handle it. Isaiah 41:10 reassures us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are angry at you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who quarrel with you will be as nothing and perish. God desires to be with us. That's his desire, to be with us. And in his presence is order, not chaos. Strength, not mess. Even those who desire to do us harm, even with just quarrels, because those little quarrels just keep eating away if you let them. They'll be as nothing. They're just going to fade away and perish. Don't hold on to them. Let them go. They're all just for now. They're not eternal. They're not going to keep going. We just need to learn while we're in his presence. We need to learn his order and not chaos. We need to learn his strength while we're in his presence. We need to learn obedience. And even Messiah Yeshua had to learn his obedience. So it's not a terrible thing. Hebrews 5:8-9 says, though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. He was the Son of God, but he learned obedience. He can learn obedience. I can do all things through him. I can learn obedience. It's not impossible. Even for someone as stiff-necked as myself, I can learn obedience. That's good news. It's a process, though. It's a process of learning. And as we learn it, we escape the chaos of the world. Now, I wish it was just as easy as to, you know, just that easy that I can say, you know, you've accepted, you escaped the chaos. I just wish it was that easy. But it really isn't. Sorry. It's a process. It's a learning. You have to learn to trust. You have to learn to obey. The good news is that once we do learn that trust and obedience, we have access to divine power that his word tells us. 1 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. Through these things, he has given us his precious and magnificent promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, since you have escaped the corruption that evil desires have brought into the world. Now, for this very reason, making every effort, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and brotherly love love. We can escape the corruption of the world. That corruption that has entered because of evil desires. The corruption that brings the chaos. And we're told by adding knowledge, it helps us to escape the corruption. But let me just say this. Be careful what knowledge you're adding. I'm not saying science is bad, but are you running around trying to figure out how to create life? Or are you gaining knowledge on the one who gives life? Are you running around trying to figure out how to change what he's already given us? Or are you gaining knowledge on how to appreciate what he's already given us? Knowledge is good, but be careful which knowledge you're chasing after. Rav Shaul in Ephesians 1:16 says, I never stop giving thanks to you, as I mention in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, the glorious Father, may give you spiritual wisdom and revelation in knowing him. That's the knowledge we chase after. Wisdom and revelation of knowing him. That replaces the chaos in our life. Knowledge of him will push out chaos within us. That is who God is. That is who Adonai is. And we're reassured that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14:33 and then 14:40. For God is not a God of confusion, but shalom. But let everything be done decently and in order. That's God. He's our God of shalom. He's our God of peace. And he calls us to be orderly. He calls us to be just like him. Not the God of confusion, not the God of chaos. Well, that means we're not the people of confusion, not the people of chaos. That's who he is, and that's who we should be. There should be no question about it. When Isaiah was speaking of Adonai in 26, he said, "You keep in perfect peace one whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in Adonai forever, and the Lord Adonai is a rock of ages." Lord, you keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on you. Trusting in Adonai. Know Adonai. Know his peace. Again, in 1 Timothy 2:3, it says, "This is good and pleasing in the sight of our in sight of God, our Savior. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." It pleases Adonai that men have the knowledge of truth. And it's not only the knowledge of who Yeshua is as our Savior, but also as the one who brings order out of the chaos of this world. He brings order through his righteousness, we're told in Isaiah 32:17. "The result of righteousness will be shalom, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in a peaceful place, in secure dwellings, quiet resting places." Yes, he was talking about all eternity, but he's also talking about in our lives, if we allow him to be. Yes, he's talking about the time that we're sitting before the throne in heaven. But yes, he's talking about right now as well. He's given us the tools we need to remove the chaos. They're not physical tools, because physical tools would be worthless in this struggle. But they are spiritual tools. Put your hand to a spiritual tool, and victory is ours. 2 Corinthians 10:4. "For the weapons of the warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God for the tearing down of strongholds. We are tearing down false arguments and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah." We need to come against false arguments. And there are a lot of false arguments in the world. You know, you think Satan only comes against us by saying, "Yeshua is not the Messiah, Yeshua is not." Yeah, that's a false argument, but it's not the only false argument that he comes against us with. Because false arguments pit man against man, believer against believer, brother against brother. Those are the false arguments that we need to come against as well. And sometimes we don't even recognize them as false arguments at first. Maybe we don't always agree with them, but we tolerate them. The problem with tolerating them is that when you start tolerating something, it becomes, you know, no big deal. In fact, eventually it becomes the norm. You know. Everyone does it. Don't worry. Everyone does it. Look, it's over there, it's over there, it's over there. Everyone does it. Don't worry about it. That's the chaos. The chaos is over there because everyone tolerates. The chaos is over there because everyone thinks it's no big deal. The chaos is over there because we just kind of grew into it somehow. We can't let it be the norm for us. Now here I go again on Facebook. And it's not that I hate Facebook. I spend too much time on Facebook. And it's not that I hate Facebook. Look, we post our things on Facebook. We make our announcements on Facebook. It can be used for the kingdom of God. But look what's becoming normal on Facebook. It's chaos. Look what's become normal on Facebook. They take a picture, they alter the picture, and show it to you as a joke. You know what I call an altered picture? A lie. It's not what really happened, therefore, it's a lie. Remember when you used to be able to say, the things I believe, the things I see, I can believe because I saw them? Can you say that anymore? It's not true anymore, the things I see. And it's not just pictures. Now they're doing it to video. Now they're doing it to audio. People say, they're just jokes. Are they jokes to the people who they're against? Are they jokes to the people who are being bullied by them? We're called to be morally above the chaos. God is and expects order, and he expects us to help him with bringing order to the world. That's our calling, to bring Messiah Yeshua to the lost and dying, to bring order to them. That's who Yeshua is. That's who the Ruach HaKodesh is. That's who Abba Father is. He's the order. And he expects us to do it because we bear his likeness. Genesis 1:27. God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We're bearing his image. And it wasn't just at creation. Ephesians 4:22. With respect to former lifestyle, you are to lay aside the old self corrupted by deceitful desires, be renewed in the spirit of the mind, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So lay aside lying, and each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. His image is not chaos, but order, and so should ours be. If we're called to be the light of the world, then we have to remove the darkness and chaos from ourselves so that we can be light to the world. And we don't need to remove ourselves from society to do that. We don't need to remove ourselves from Facebook to do that. We need to modify what we're doing in society and modify what we're doing in Facebook. Can you say that the things you put on Facebook edify and teach? And if you say yes, are you edifying and teaching by teasing, making fun of, using things that just, you know, hey, they're not true, but it makes a point. Is the point worth using something from Satan? Is it worth the lie? That's pretty harsh. I understand that's pretty harsh. But It's only because we've slid so far in society that it has to be said harshly. I say it with love, though. Because none of us has slid so far that it's too late. Think, you know, why are we all on Facebook? Oh, we can all be connected to other people who we don't get to see. We have family that we can keep track of. We have friends we can keep track of. What's your testimony to the unsaved people who are seeing it on Facebook? Look, they lie just as much as we do. That's a poor witness, guys. It's that obedience to Messiah that will pull you out of it, pull us out of it. Do you see things and do you repost things that someone who follows you will know you're the follower of the one who is not chaos and lies? It's so easy to do. You know, it's so easy to slip into that. You know, I saw this and it's funny and it's true. Well, maybe the thought behind it is true, but the picture isn't. Oh, but you know, we should be having these strong border walls. We should be having our guns. We should be having... And I'm not saying we shouldn't be having strong border walls. I'm not saying you shouldn't have your guns. But how are you saying it matters. That's what matters. It's not the message. It's how you're messaging that I'm talking about right now. How you're messaging it. Because the people on Facebook, have we not always said, when people look at you, they're judging you as believers. They hear your speech now, not just out of your mouth, but through your fingers and what you're typing and what you're reposting. Oh, but I didn't say it. I just reposted it. Your reposting it is the same as your saying it. Sorry, Mr. President. Be morally above and pull others up. Don't let them pull you down. Don't bully. Don't lie. Don't spread falsehoods. Spread a good message. Absolutely. Teach others. Absolutely. Watch how you're doing it with your speech and your actions on Facebook. Watch how you're doing it with your speech and your actions when you're in front of somebody. And even when you're not in front of somebody, know there's always someone watching us. There's always someone watching us. When you're driving, they're watching. When you're in lines in a store, they're watching. That's who we are. If they weren't watching, would you be an efficient light to the nation? What's the use of being a light if people aren't watching and seeing the light? They have to be watching in order for you to be the light. And you can't turn it off. So, you know, it's a heavy message. But it's a true message. Put thought into what you do and what you put onto Facebook before you do it and before you post it. Because it's the lack of thought that is the chaos. It's the lack of thought that is the chaos. It's the lack of good intention. If you don't think about what is good, the flesh and the chaos just take over. Father, we thank you that we're now, that there are so many ways to spread your word. There's Instagram, there's Facebook, there's live streaming, there's face-to-face, there's even letter writing, believe it or not. Father, we just ask that those things we do would glorify you. not just when we post and write and speak about you, but when we do all the other things that people see us doing, that it would be to glorify you. That we would glorify you even during those times that we don't think we're even speaking about you, because people will see us and automatically draw the line between us and you. Thank you that we draw the line between us and you, that we are connected with you. May we never do anything that draws away your glory, that diminishes your light to the world. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to discern the things we see and to know if it deserves to be reposted, resaid, repeated, commented on. Help us to drag the world out of its chaos by us just following after you and telling others who you are. Your word says to guard our mouth, that there's power of life and death in our tongue. I do believe if there was a computer in Moses' time, you would be telling us there's power of life and death in the fingers on a keyboard. Father, help us to bring life through our social media. Help us so that others will not judge you incorrectly when they look at us. Ruach HaKodesh, guide us in the things we do. Help us to press into you. Help us to know you better. That is the desire of our hearts. As those who accepted Messiah Yeshua, we desire to know you better and to be that accurate reflection of your light. Because that's all we can be. We have no light of our own, but we reflect your light. We thank you that you allow us to reflect your light. We just ask that help us by shining us up, cleaning us up, so that we can reflect more accurately who you are in everything we do and everything we put our hand to. We thank you for your love and grace and mercy. We thank you that you, by your Ruach HaKodesh, are with us in every step. We just ask that you help us with discerning wisdom in all that we do. And we just praise your name in all times, in all seasons, and in all situations. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. You know, I hope it didn't come across that I'm yelling and screaming at people. It's just, you know, I want to encourage us to be the people of God. Isn't that who we want to be? Amen. Amen. Amen.